Welcome to Sulphur Springs Baptist Church Sermon Audio. For more information, please visit our website at sulphurspringsbc.com.
Appreciate the songs this morning. I am thankful for the truths that we studied in John 17, and we saw as the Lord was headed towards the cross, He was praying for us. And I'm thankful for the Savior's love for us, which I think we see in that, and Him in those final moments that as He was headed towards crucifixion, that He was thinking of us and praying for us. I'm grateful for His love and thankful to reference the song we sung together, that He did touch me and make me whole one day. I rejoice in that this morning. If you have your copy of the Word of the Lord with you, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12, and as you find your place, my intention prior to this week, prior to what happened, prior to the events of this past week, this was where I was intending to be today, but I think you'll be like me and be amazed at how much it applies to us as a church and how relevant, of course, all the Word of the Lord is relevant, but how much it'll speak to the situation in which you and I as a church find ourselves in this morning. I'm thankful for God's Word, how it's encouraged my heart this week and ministered to my heart, and pray and confident this morning that the Lord will do the same for you in your life today through His Word. But as you have found your place, if you will, stand with me this morning in honor and reference to the Word of the Lord as we read. We're going to read Acts 12, verses 1 through 19, where the Bible says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Lord, we want to come before you as we study the word of the Lord this morning, God, and pray for your help. Pray for the Spirit of God to be at work during this time, Lord, to transform us. God, as we read the prayer of Jesus in John 17, God, we make it our prayer, Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Lord, help me today to preach exactly that, your truth. Lord, help me not to preach my preferences, my opinions, and my thoughts, God, but preach your truth. Preach what you have said and what you're teaching us in your word. And Lord, through it, would you sanctify us? Would you make us more like Christ? Would you remove sin from our lives? God, bring us to repentance of the things in our life that are not in accordance with your word. And God, for the person here that might still be in their sin, that is never the person that has never been forgiven, the person who has never been baptized into this body of Christ that we've referenced today, Lord, through the work of the Holy Ghost, Lord, I pray that that might take place today, that their heart would fall under conviction, that they would see themselves as a sinner as they are outside of Christ, and Lord, it would become very real to them, not just something they hear someone say and not just something that they have, just the words that are in their mind, but God, very real personal experience and reality of their sin. And then, Lord, help them to look to Calvary, to where they know, they can know that no matter what their history is and what their story is, that they can have forgiveness in you. Lord, we thank you for being our refuge, as we read from Pastor James's scripture in the Psalms. God, we thank you for being that. And we pray again for the Dancys and the Odoms, Lord, that you would be exactly that for them. Help them, Lord, to experience you in reality and in firsthand, God, maybe like they never have before, what it is to have you as a refuge, a safe place, a secure place, a strong tower. God, we thank you for being that for us. We love you today. We thank you for loving us. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing this morning. As Scripture always proves itself to have, this text is rich with lessons to impact our life. One thing the text teaches, which could be its own separate message if you wanted to go through and highlight this above the focus, if you will, that we'll take on the passage of Scripture. But it teaches us this, which is also, I think, significant to understanding the aspect of this text on our prayer life. But this narrative of Peter in prison and being broken out of prison reminds us that God is in control. As Mark so well said, God is still on the throne and God is still in charge. God calls the shots, not me, not you, not King Herod, not any other earthly power that's in existence or ever has been in existence. God is the one who's in the ultimate control and authority of all things that take place around us today. Herod thought he had authority. Herod thought he had power. Herod thought when he wanted Peter dead, then he could have Peter killed. But Herod learned what everybody else will also learn at some point in time, and that is that God has the ultimate authority and God has the ultimate control. That God is, as the word explains, or as the terminology is, God is sovereign. God is in control of all things. If this was not Peter's time to enter eternity, then it did not matter what Herod did or did not do. Peter was not going anywhere. It reminds us that God is in control of this world, and we worship God for that fact, that aspect of who he is. And don't make the mistake here of Herod, which is Herod Agrippa I, the grandson of Herod the Great. It's a warning here through his life of pride and thinking that you have more power, that you're thinking you have more authority than you really do. Thinking that you can do whatever you want, whether it's what God wants or not. King Herod learned he's the king. He thinks he's the highest authority. But here he learns that even he is very much so under the mighty, powerful hand of God. God has a way to bring shame and humility to all those who try to stand against him, to all those who let their pride rear up in his face. God has a way of bringing us back down to a place of humility and even a place of shame if need be. We learn in these verses of Scripture, Herod, if we can learn through secondhand knowledge, we learn that God is the one with all power and all authority, not us. So these verses can help us maintain our humility as we realize we're not in control. It's God who's the one who's in control. And we see a lot of Herod's motivation in the early parts of what we read. Herod wanted to please the people. It says in verse number 3 that when he had killed James, he saw the Jews were happy about it, which makes sense. We know they had Jesus killed, so if those following Jesus are being killed, while we may not understand their motivation and their heart behind it, we can see why that would play out the way that it is described here in these verses of Scripture. Herod's motivation was to please the people. You have to be very, very careful and cautious about your actions when they're motivated by pleasing people. Our ultimate motivation for our decisions, the ultimate factor in what guides us and leads us in our life cannot be what's going to please people, because as Herod learned, that's going to get you into trouble. Our heart and the motivation behind what we do is what brings glory and honor to God and not what's going to please people, because that can get you into very, very much trouble. But the focus that I want us to work through this text with is on the prayer that takes place from the church for Peter. As humans, we love a feel-good story. We like it when the bad guys lose and the good guys come out on top. Nearly every single movie ever made is built around this storyline in some way, shape, or form. We love to see the good guy coming out on top. And certainly understand this morning, I'm not lowering this passage of Scripture to simply, and the richness of this text is simply a feel-good story. But I want to bring that to mind to help us to relate and engage with the story. That there's a certain level of rejoicing that comes to our hearts when it looks like Peter's going to die, but then at the end of it, God breaks him out and Herod's left in humiliation. We're glad to see the story take that turn. But what I want you to notice and think about it from these verses of Scripture is notice what takes place between the conflict and the deliverance. What took place between Peter in prison, tied up and looking like death was for certain, to him at the end saying, go tell James and the rest of the church, I'm out and I'm fine, and Peter going off in safety. The thing that connected the two was prayer. Prayer was made in the middle, between the conflict and the deliverance. And so therefore, this text can leave a tremendous impact on our prayer life. And I wonder this morning if it might be the same that lies between our conflict and our deliverance would also be prayer. So how do these verses this morning impact our prayer life? Verses 1 through 5, we see it encourages intercessory prayer, which intercessory prayer is praying for others. When you pray for other people. And as we build to that prayer that is prayed by the church for Peter, and looking at verse number 1, it says that there's this particular time where Herod stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And if you use a different translation, it probably does not use the word vex, but that word, as it's used in the King James Version, means mistreatment, inflicting misery or harm. To draw some application even from that as we make our way through these verses of Scripture is, are you willing to remain when vexation, when mistreatment, when misery even, when harm is inflicted upon the church? Are you willing to suffer this morning for the name of Christ? Certainly, we pray that God would protect us from these such circumstances, but if the environment which we live changes, are you willing to be faithful? If you know that leaders are seeking to purposefully bring mistreatment and harm to people who acclaim fellowship with the Church of Christ, are you willing to maintain your testimony of faith and your witness in an environment such as that? Then they're flowing from that. Verse number 2 heightens the situation. In other words, King Herod is not bluffing. King Herod is not just making stuff up. King Herod is not just saying stuff that sounds good. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, this James is not the James that wrote the letter that's found later in your New Testament. This is James, the brother of John, not James, the brother or half-brother of Jesus. But he was killed by the sword, a violent death for his testimony with Christ, his fellowship with Christ, but it heightens the situation to tell us that Herod is not, when he has set his attention in verse number 3 on Peter, Herod's not, it's a serious situation. Herod's not joking. He's already had James killed, and the Jews enjoyed that. It pleased them. And Peter became his next target. Something else to think about in the life of Peter. Peter didn't become a target because he was halfway serving the Lord because he was halfway involved with the church. Peter was chosen as the next recipient of this persecution because of his involvement and his great commitment to the church. Obviously, he boldly lived out his faith. He was courageous with his faith. He had no shame. At this point, of course, we know his failure. We know the moment in which he denied Christ, but has been restored. And we see in the book of Acts the faithfulness of Peter. At this point, he's not ashamed of his Lord. He lived out his faith. I say all that to pose a question to you. In other words, if someone was wanting to bring harm to Christians, if they were looking to bring misery and pain to someone in the church, would you be one that they think of? Would you be someone that they come looking for? If a leader goes to look for people involved with the church, would you be someone that they would think about? Would they even know that you associate with the church? Would they know that you associate with a life of faith, that you live a life of faith? Well, Peter, certainly they did, and he became the next target. Now, it's funny, if you will, that they're waiting till it's Easter time, Passover, the week of unleavened bread. That's lead up into Passover, the day we recognize the Lord being crucified. And the reason they're wanting to wait, the Jews, because this was holy time. So the irony is they're wanting this man killed. It's going to please them, but to honor their religion, they want to wait at least until this feast is over, because that's, you know, you don't want to kill nobody during those days. But after that, it's going to, you know, we want to have him taken care of. So that's why they're waiting. So King Herod apprehends Peter, puts him in prison, delivers him to four quaternions of soldiers, four groups of four, to keep him, and intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So the only reason Peter's not dead yet is because it's Easter, or he'd be dead already. He's tied up. From what I read, the two soldiers would have been tied to Peter. Two soldiers would have watched the door, and there's four groups of those four because they'll rotate watches. And so, therefore, we find ourselves in verse number 5. Peter is kept in prison. But this is where I say this impacts our prayer life. While Peter is kept in prison, the rest of that verse says that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Understand, Peter's situation seems hopeless. I believe all the details that's given in verse number 4 and even in describing James's death is to help us understand this, that Peter in his own strength, Peter in his own wisdom and his own ability, he's hopeless. If it's up to him and his power, he's dead. He's as good as dead. As soon as Easter's over, he is a goner. There's nothing he can do. Maybe you can relate to that. Then you think about the church. There's also nothing they can do physically. When the situation seemed hopeless, what did the church do? The church prayed for him. When you feel like you can't do anything about a situation to help someone, or when you might say, I just wish there was something that I could do to help. When the next time you have that thought, I want you to recall Acts chapter 12 and verse number 5 and pray for whoever is on your mind. The church is doing what they can to act like a body, as we've mentioned. We mentioned it Wednesday. It's been referred to already this morning to show forth unity. The church did what it could to help carry the burden of Peter. They did what they could to help share in his suffering. You and I can do the same to take up someone's concern and take up their need and lift them up in prayer. And in this sense, and when we use prayer in this matter, prayer helps us to become less self-focused and helps us to be more mindful of the needs of others. Yes, we pray for our own needs because we recognize how greatly dependent we are on the Lord. But prayer also, when we exercise it correctly, helps us to get less self-focused at the same time, to think about the needs of others, to be concerned and have a heart for the needs of those around us. I love what the Bible Knowledge Commentary said. It said, Peter was bound, but prayer was loosed. Well, I want you to recognize this morning is the church couldn't storm the prison. I don't know how many of the church was there. I don't know exactly all the security that was involved with this prison. We do know that the soldiers are there. But the church didn't decide, rally up everybody and say, let's get our weapons, let's go, we're going to break Peter out of the prison. That really probably wasn't an applicable, true option for them. Be like us going to try to break somebody out of prison. That's just probably not the best way to go about things. Probably not going to be productive. The church didn't see that as their best option. But what the church did see is something that could make a difference. And what the church did see is an option for them. And what the church saw as something that could make a difference was to gather together and to pray. The church couldn't sit in prison with Peter. I mean, I guess if they would have went there and volunteered, maybe they would have let him. I don't know, but of course, again, that's not the best option. The church couldn't go sit in that prison beside Peter. But the church could gather together and lift him up and pray for him. The church saw prayer as its best option. As much as they could to do what they could do, they prayed for him. We see they prayed with a certain level of confidence. The fact that they prayed at all shows if they didn't think it was going to make a difference, they wouldn't have spent their time doing it. But also, the Bible says not just that they prayed, but they prayed without ceasing. And that word means fervently or earnestly, and they prayed strenuously. I read in Dr. David Jeremiah, the word is at its foundation is a medical term used to describe stretching a muscle to its limits. So they're praying up to their limits, if you will. They're praying fervently. They're praying strenuously unto God for Peter. One of the best ways you can get up under the burden of somebody else. One of the best ways we can rally around people around us that are hurting is to pray for them. And I say in all genuineness and all sincerity that I have been blessed this week by all the testimonies of prayer, all the personal witness of prayer made for families this week that are hurting. And I think these verses encourage us even more so in that. You might not be able to be at the hospital with the Dancys every day and every moment. Of course, visits are important and visits can be so timely and so needy. I'm not minimizing that at all. But when you can't be present where the need is at, you can still pray. And according to the Scripture, it makes a difference. You might not be able to be with the Odoms as the kids return to school and as Daniel goes back to work, but we can pray. And again, according to the Scriptures, that makes a difference. So we're encouraged to pray for other people. But then also we're encouraged to have confidence in prayer. Again, that it makes a difference. The story here is there's so many aspects to it. There's humor in it. When I say the story, I mean what happens next is God reminds us of His ability and His power and His willingness to answer prayer. So the Bible says that when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, so the night before Herod intends to bring Peter out to have him killed, he's sleeping between two soldiers. Again, he's bound with two chains. Again, the picture of Peter's not going anywhere unless God intervenes. The keepers, they're keeping the prison. Peter's chained up to two of them. Well, then the angel of the Lord shows up in verse number 7. And a light shined in the prison, and Peter, he smites Peter. He hits him and raises him up and says, "Get up." And of course, that's my word. And his chains fell off from his hands. I think there's something to take note of, or there's something to be said that Peter's asleep. And sleeping so good that the angel comes to him and has to knock him to wake him up. You think about if you're in a prison, just waiting for your day to die. Just the only reason, again, you're not dead yet is because of the time of the year it is. It's the night before, and he's sound asleep. So Peter had confidence in one of two things. Peter had confidence that God would give him grace for his death, or he had confidence that God would get him out. Either way, there's a lesson to be learned from Peter about finding peace in our Heavenly Father. Certainly, he had a level of peace to be able to sleep. The angel hits him and wakes him up and says, "Get up." Miraculously, his chains fall off from his hands. And the angel says to him, must have taken his coat off. He says, "Put your shoes on." Again, I'm paraphrasing some of this. He says, "Put your shoes on, get your coat, and follow me." Now you think about getting woke up in the middle of the night by an angel and says, "Get your stuff, get your shoes, and follow me." I was thinking, I kind of forewarned Brynn I was going to maybe mention, I didn't tell her everything I was going to say, but I'm probably going to find a different illustration eventually than my wife. But for now, that's the direction we're going. But I'm more of a morning person. And so, if I would have been woken up, I would have probably been all right. But some people may, Brianna's not as much of a morning person. It's gotten better since she was on day shift. She would have probably brushed off the angel and, you know, said, "Come back later. I'm sleeping right now." I probably have been hateful even maybe towards the angel trying to get her out of prison. But to try to put us in the shoes of Peter, I mean, just to make it real for you, this is happening in the middle of the night. And he says, "Get your stuff, follow me." So he follows him. Peter's not even sure. Verse number 9, he's still maybe thinking he's dreaming. He thinks he's seeing a vision that's not even real. And so they pass the first ward, they pass the second ward. They come to the iron gate that leadeth into the city, and it just opens of its own accord. So Peter walks out. The angel then leaves. And verse number 11, Peter, you can just almost see Peter looking around thinking, "What in the world?" And he finally comes to himself, the Bible says, and then he realized of a surety that God had sent his angel. And I like the way that it's worded and says, "He hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jew." God had delivered him. Peter, in all the victories that we experience, and all the prayers that God answers, you and I have to be careful and be intentional about giving God the victory and giving God the praise and giving God the honor and the glory. I thought about Eric as I was studying these verses, and thought about Peter, and as he'll go and tell the people praying for him, he tells them that God rescued him. God brought him out of the prison. He didn't say, "You'll not believe, I fought off 4 soldiers and then 3 others got it." That wasn't Peter's story. Peter didn't do anything to heighten himself up. He says, "God brought me out of the prison." And Eric mentioned when we were there celebrating with Veronica on Monday that on the bell that she rang, it said the victory bell. And he said, "And God gets the victory." And how true that is. Yes, there were nurses that cared for her and nurses who did their best for her. And I'm not minimizing the work of nurses, but the victory is not to the nurses. The victory is to God, who brings healing, who brings restoration. He's the one we always must give the glory and the honor to. And I'm thankful we find confidence in prayer because God shows us again that God can do the impossible. Again, I think all the references to Peter being chained up, the soldiers being around, the fact that James's death is mentioned is to remind us that if God didn't intervene, Peter was going to die. But the angel gets Peter up and walks him right out. You say, how did the other ones not recognize it? How did the others not, if they were asleep, how did they not wake up? How did the gate open for them? Again, it reminds us of the mighty power of God that is able to do anything. He may not always exercise his power the way we want him to and the time we want him to, but it's never because he don't have the power. So in that, we pray with confidence. We don't gather for prayer in verse number 5 with frailty, with lack of confidence, with lack of courage that God is able to do what we're asking. And these verses remind us of that. Peter makes his way to the home of the saints that are praying for him. And there, I thought about of all the places Peter could have went, maybe to his own home, family. Where does Peter go? He goes to his brothers and sisters in Christ. He goes to the church. There's something to be said about our church community. There's something to be said about the special relationship that believers share. When he had anywhere he could have went, where did he go? He went to people he could trust. Because again, remember, at this point, as far as anybody that's outside of his circle of faith, he's an escaped criminal. He had to go somewhere he could trust. Or had to go to somebody and people he could trust. So he went to his brothers and sisters in Christ. Shows us the importance of our Christian community, the support that's there. So he goes, and again, some more of just the natural humor that's in the text. He's knocking on the door of the house. You can imagine, they know the persecution. I mean, to them, it's the middle of the night. Again, remember, so that maybe helps explain some of the confusion that takes place. But as far as they're concerned, it could be Roman soldiers coming to get them. So they hear a knock. And one of the servant girls goes to open the door, and she hears Peter's voice. But instead of letting him in and hugging on him and loving on him, she leaves him standing outside the door and goes running back in to everybody else that's praying and says, Peter's outside. And they tell her, they say, you are mad. It's what the King James says. That word means they're telling her that she's out of her mind. The Greek word for it has come to give us our word maniac, if it just to help us understand what they're saying. Saying, woman, you have lost your mind. But this lady was persistent, said, no, I'm telling you, Peter's outside the door. And then they go on to say, well, it must be his angel. And as I mentioned, the church prayed in confidence in the fact that they prayed tells us they had confidence in prayer. They wouldn't have prayed. But then we see here, and you can't help but wonder at their response. It's almost as if they didn't expect the Lord to answer their prayer. Now, the alternative would be maybe they were praying, God, just give Peter grace for what lies ahead. Maybe their specific prayer wasn't necessarily, Lord, get him out of prison. But maybe they were just praying that God would give him grace for his entrance into eternity. But their response challenges us to think about the fact that when God answers our prayers, we should not be so surprised. And eventually, they let Peter in. The Bible says that they were astonished. They were beside themselves. They were flabbergasted. I'm glad this morning that God has a way of astonishing us. God has a way of leaving us flabbergasted. God has a way to just leave us amazed as He answers prayer. When I say we pray in confidence, we pray, this is the confidence we should pray in. That He's willing to answer prayer and He has the ability to answer prayer. So Peter beckons them to hold their peace. Again, as far as everybody else outside of the circle of faith, he's an escaped criminal. And if Herod can get his hands back on Peter, then it's going to be bad. So you can see him almost trying to calm them down and gets their attention and he explains what's happened. And again, that's where his testimony is. The Lord brought me out of the prison. Giving glory and honor to God for the prayer that's answered, for the miracle that he has performed. And he says, go tell James and the others. Now this is the James that wrote the letter that's found later in the New Testament. This is the James that's the half-brother of Jesus. He says, go tell them, the Jerusalem church. And James became a leader in that church. He says, you go tell them that I'm okay, I'm out of prison. And then Peter has to leave and go into another place, into a place of hiding. Ian Bounds said, prayer can do anything that God can do. And we see that here in the text, that God can do anything. If it means getting one of his servants out of prison, then that's what he can do. God's not limited in any way. And knowing this, we should feel fresh energy and passion to pray for others. Because we see and reminded it makes a difference. I would title this message, Prayer Changes Things. For young people that face temptation, and as they're young in their faith and still grow and lack maybe maturity, not of any fault of their own, just the process of maturing. What these verses remind us of is that a praying mother, a praying father somewhere can make a difference. For marriages, for other needs that are present, someone over in the corner praying can make a difference. Peter, as far as we know, he didn't know he was being prayed for. But God heard their prayer and began to work in Peter's life. I love, as our musicians prepare and come around and prepare for an invitation, I love what Warren Wiersbe said in his commentary. It's a quote from a Puritan preacher named Thomas Watson. But I think it embodies what I want to leave you with this morning, what I think the text leaves us with this morning so well. Thomas Watson said, "The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel." There's needs all around us today. Needs in your life, needs in our church, family's life. As the text says, may it be said of us that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him or her or them or whatever the need might be. Again, remember the question, what took place here between the conflict of Peter and his deliverance? What was the connection? It was prayer. Certainly God can bring deliverance and God can bring rescue. So we pray in that confidence. As we stand together this morning, if God has put a particular burden on your heart and you feel the Spirit of God beckoning you to pray in this immediate time of invitation, then you be obedient to Him. As Mark comes around and leads us in our song of invitation.
Thank you for listening. Please remember to drop a rating and subscribe to get our latest audio.